Hallelujah. How many of you are blessed?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many of you are not in the hospital? You're well. You're not in the hospital. You don't have to be in the hospital. Glory to God. How many of you got a house to live in? Glory to God. How many of you got more than enough clothes to wear? Glory to God. You got decisions to make every time you get dressed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you got to stop and count your blessings. Isn't that right? We're so busy sometimes looking at the things in the future, looking at the things we want, looking at this, looking at that. Let me tell you something. You ought to start counting up what you already got. Take inventory of what God has already done. Listen to me. God has done more for you than you may realize. God has brought you out of a sinful life. He's caused you to escape the devil's hell. He's caused you to rise up out of sickness. He's lifted you up out of poverty. He's caused you to break the chains to be broken of bondage. No more bondage. No more. Listen to me. God has done more for you than you may think. Maybe you're sitting there thinking the cat died and the dog died and the car doesn't start and the bills need to be paid and I don't know what I'm going to do, but listen to me, sometimes you just got to start thinking about what God has already done. Got to start thinking about that. Start praising God for that. And if God has already done all those things for you, surely He will take care of you in this hour.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God didn't bring you this far to drop you like a hot potato. Listen to me. God is looking for ways to bring you along. Hallelujah. 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 We just thank God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise Him a little bit more. Get yourself stirred up. Start thinking about the Lord. Get your mind off the problem. Just get your mind off of the situation. Get your mind off your feelings. Get your mind off of what somebody said. Get your mind off of what's coming this week. Get your mind on the Lord. Come on now. Come on now. Just keep praising Him.
Well,
come.
Look what the Lord has done.
Come
look
on.
Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. Touch my mind, He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm gonna praise His name. He saved me just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
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 He healed my body.
He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time.
Sometimes we got to stir ourselves up. Sometimes you got to get your mind, get a proper perspective on some things. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you got your expectation level stirred up? Stirred up. Everybody say stirred up. Amen. Glory to God. Well, if your expectation level is stirred up, you can take your seat. And so tonight, you know, as we look into the Word of God, we don't want to just share a lesson tonight and then call it good. Because, you know, really, the Word of God, there's a purpose for the Word of God. God didn't write a book just because he didn't have anything else to do. He said, I'm bored up here. I'm going to write a book. Everybody else writing a book, I'm going to write one too. Well, you know, that's not really, you know what I'm saying? Why did God write a book? So that your life and my life can be changed. To change people's lives, so we get the knowledge, so that we get the revelation, so that we get the understanding, so that we can partake of a new life, new nature, and walk in some new things that God has spoken of in his word. Amen? And so we want to look into the word of God, but listen to me, we're not content with just looking into it and nothing happening. We're looking to see some change. Everybody say change. Well, if you find your place over in Jeremiah, and then also Jeremiah 17, and then also in Psalms 103, we'll begin there tonight. In Jeremiah 17:14, I'm going to read this verse, and then we'll elaborate just a little bit on these verses tonight. Jeremiah 17:14, he says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. The another translation, New International Version, says it this way, for you are the one I praise. And so, you know, Jeremiah wrote that before the cross, before Jesus ever came into the earth. And so he's looking forward to some things. Amen. And actually, if you start studying the history at that time, Israel's history was not anything to, or the condition of Israel, rather, was not anything to be commended at that point. And so Jeremiah had the privilege, the dubious privilege of being the prophet to a disobedient and rebellious people and idol-worshiping people, and they didn't really listen to him really well. And so in the middle of all of that, the prophet cries out to God, and he says, heal me, O Lord, and I'm healed, you know, is the way I would say it. Save me, and I'm saved. And so we need to recognize that Jeremiah is actually crying out to God on his own behalf, but really more than that, he really wants that, the whole thing. That's what he wants to happen to Israel. He, in spite of the sins of Israel, in spite of drifting away from God, if you look at the history of Israel, they had a history of drawing close to God, drifting away, serving other gods, coming close to God, repenting, and coming, you know, near to God and starting to flow in the blessings of God, and then they drift away. You know, the sad thing is that some people, they're close to God as long as they got needs. But unfortunately, some people, when the things are going well and God has answered prayers and God's blessings are flowing, listen to me, that's the time I've seen some church people get drifting away. Just drifting away. I remember years ago, my wife and I, we were involved in counseling this one couple in another church years ago where we were at. They had marriage problems. They had other problems. They had lots of problems. And they had physical problems that the doctor said couldn't be cured. But listen to me, God began to move in their life, and God began to show some things, deal with some things, and God got their marriage together where they were working together again and flowing together. They weren't going to, they decided not to get a divorce. And she started getting better physically and all of that. And all of a sudden, they quit coming to church. Never saw him again. Never saw him again. And the last thing that we knew about them, they were just out there. Now don't get me wrong here. There's a place for what they were doing, but they got so busy rescuing dogs, they didn't have time for God anymore. And there's a place for rescuing dogs in there. But, and they travel all over the country and say, well, we'll take that dog. We'll take that dog. We heard about this dog. We heard about that dog. And you know what I'm saying? Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they were listening to. Maybe they saw the movie All Dogs Go to Heaven. I don't know. But anyway. But anyway, that's just my sense of humor. If you like dogs, that's great. I like dogs too. Just think of what I'd be like if I didn't like dogs. Terrible, wouldn't it? Anyway, but you know, the point is that people drift away. That's what Israel did. They'd get the blessings of God, and then they'd go off and do things themselves and not pay any attention to God. And in the middle of this, the prophet's crying out on his own behalf and on behalf of the people. He says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. Then he says, you're my praise. You're the one I praise. And in the middle of it, you know, listen to me. These were God's people that he was speaking on behalf of. Today we would look at this verse in the light of what Jesus did at the cross, and we would say, you healed me, Lord, and I am healed. You saved me, Lord, and I am saved, and I'm praising you. You deserve all the praise. You deserve all the praise. God is the one I'm praising. Because of what he's done for me. Amen. And so every time, now listen to me, I'm going to talk to you just a moment, a little bit about God is our praise. Why is that? It's necessary. This verse shows us this, and the setting of this verse shows us this, that praising God will keep you close to God. That if you can't praise and worship God with everything you got and then drift far away. Listen to me, because it's as you're praising God that God begins to share some things. God begins to speak some things. God begins to talk to you about some things. God begins rearranging some things in your life. And so, so we ought to be praising God. We ought to be praising God. You may have a bad situation, but listen to me. You may not be praising God because of that, but you ought to be praising God because of who God is. And that there is a God who cares for you. And that got you there. Well, but now listen to me. I got a thing to talk about to God. I have had some people tell me this one time. Tell me this in times past. They said, well, now I got a bone to pick with God. Why did he let this happen and why did he let that happen? Listen to me. In the middle of your trouble is not the time to figure out why. In the middle of the trouble, it's time to start praising God like you've never praised God before. And you can praise your God, until you get out of trouble. And so we need to look at this verse and just get the impact of that verse. This is one of the verses that I read every day. And Psalms 103 verse 1. Turn with me there. Psalms 103 verse 1 is another verse these verses, I read these every day. They mean a lot to me. They help me. They make me easier to live with. And so my wife says, make sure you read those verses every day. No, she doesn't do that. But you know. But she's probably thanking God that I read my Bible because I'm a better person for it. Amen. Amen. And so anyway, it says, here it says in Psalms 101 or 103 verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Say it with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He says here, then he begins to list some benefits. He said he forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The word bless right there is the idea right there when it's used or directed toward God. Albert Barnes says this. He said the word bless as applied to God means to praise, implying always strong affection for him as well as a sense of gratitude. And so we ought to praise him. We ought to bless him. We ought, you know, sometimes things aren't the way we want them, but God is always the way we want him. He is a perfect God. He's doing his work perfectly. And he's still willing to help us. No matter how bad off we are, no matter how bad we've done, no matter how terrible the things are, God is willing to help us. Amen. You say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? Because there's a bad devil in this earth. And you know, listen to me. Sometimes we make mistakes as well. But you know, I'm inclined to think that sometimes the devil helps us to make bad decisions and influences in that direction and causes us to not be wise in what we're in our decisions, not be biblical in our decisions. And so then all of a sudden we find ourselves in a situation. You know what I'm saying? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know? Well, I know some of you looking at me like, have no idea what you're talking about. Well, you know, looks can be deceiving. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, you can't go by looks sometimes, can you? Because we all know we've been there. We all made at least one bad decision in life. You know, but that's okay. God is bigger than that. God doesn't give up on you. God doesn't throw his hands up and just say, forget you. I mean, what's the matter with you? You made a mistake. Do you know what I'm saying? God says, no, listen to me. I'm bigger than that. Come on, try it again. But now listen to me. Here it is. He says this. He said, bless the Lord or praise the Lord. Or we could say it this way. We give adoration to God. Yes. And so we need to recognize that we are to praise and to worship God. And we're to be people. I believe this, that we have been created to praise God. God designed us to praise him. And so, I listen to me. I've been in a few situations where I've had to recover the way I talked and start praising God. I had to change what was coming out of my mouth. You know what I'm saying? And so here's the thing. You could tell somebody the truth about what happened to you. You could tell them the whole situation. You could go into every detail. You could tell them until you could tell it to them so well until when you get done, they know your situation as good as you do. They can feel your pain. They can sense your dejection. They sympathize with you and all of that. But you know, when you get done with all of that, listen to me. The situation is still the same. You don't feel any better. Your emotions aren't any better. Your distress is still the same. You know what I'm saying? You could do that, couldn't you? And people do that. And so forth. But now listen to me. Here's what the psalmist said. Here's what Jeremiah said. He said, the idea is in the middle of everything. Praise God. Worship God. You say, well, don't do like the one farmer that went to one of the churches I pastored, a Methodist church I pastored 17 miles out in the country right after I graduated from Rhema. And there was this big farmer there. He had a big farm. He was, I'm not saying he was a big farmer, but he had a big farm. Anyway, you understand there's a difference, you know. Anyway, and so he was having financial trouble. I said, have you, and he would get depressed and he'd just go to the house because he couldn't even function. I said, have you ever considered praising God? He said, I'd rather die than sing a song. Well, the good news is that he's in heaven singing a song now. He really is. I mean, he did die later on, you know. But now listen to me. He didn't recover out of the financial problems. He didn't recover, and he was depressed. He still had depression problems and everything. You know why? Because he just simply would. But if you talk to him, he'd tell you how bad the situation was. You know what I'm saying? And so I gave him a book. Some of you remember this. Demas Shakarian was a large, he had a large dairy operation out in California, and he wrote a book. He was the founder of the Full Gospel Businessman years ago, and he wrote a book called The Happiest People on Earth. And he talked about God getting them out, what was it, Armenia? Some country like that, just miraculously. And then in California, how he had a large dairy operation. He'd pray for his cows, and they'd get well, and all of that. So I gave this farmer this book. I said, you know, you need to learn something out of that. You know, this book will help you. He said, I don't like to read books. I said, well, I'm going to give it to you. You don't have to give it back right away. He said, it might take a while. I said, doesn't matter to me. Just read the book. He actually read the book in a week, which is a miracle. And he brought it back and gave it to me. I'm thinking to myself, well, okay. And he said, that's a good book. I said, did it help me? He said, made me wonder if I had any faith. He sounded like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. You know, Eeyore, you know. Some people have an Eeyore complex. They need to start getting over into, you know, praising God, you know. You know? And listen to me. People just don't know what it does for them when they start praising God in the middle of their situation. I know Brother Bill, he doesn't sing much in public, but I know sometimes I'm down the hall from him and I hear his guitar start up. And he starts praising God. And you know, it's a blessing. So I try to keep mine down because I don't want him to not be blessed. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I don't want him to just get up and leave, you know. One of these days, they might let me sing at the end of the service. You see, when they want people to leave, you know, they might let me sing then, you know. Okay, closing song by Marvin Yoder. And people are running for the exits. I don't know. But you know what? God doesn't leave when I start praising God. Doesn't matter how your voice is. One guy, a student, years ago, I was working in another Bible school, and I was a dean of that Bible school, and we have chapel services, and so one day I looked out there, and there was this guy, never sings. So I got him off to the side one day, and I said, I noticed that you never sing. I said, don't you want to sing? He said, well, I want to sing. But he said, Brother Yoder, I'm so embarrassed. He said, every time I try to sing, he said, I sound like a male elk bellowing. Just big old, you know, roar of some kind. And he said, I just don't want to. You know, but you know what? God doesn't mind that. I said, God doesn't mind that. God doesn't mind that. Sometimes we think they're singing too high. They're singing too low. They're singing too loud. They're not singing loud enough, you know, whatever. Listen to me. Just start praising God. Doesn't matter. Listen to me. Praise God. When you're praising God, I'm not trying to please this guy, not trying to please this person. I'm just praising God. You know what I'm saying? And you got to learn that God wants you to keep praising him. And he wants you to do it a certain way. He said, listen to it. Look at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And so you know he wants your soul. He wants your thinking involved. He wants your the focus of your thoughts to be on him as you lift your voice in song. And then he says, and all that is within me. And so one person said it this way, said that this way, all my powers and faculties, all that can be employed in his praise, the heart, the will, the affections, the emotions, the idea is that God is worthy of all the praise and adoration which the entire man can render. No one of his faculties or powers should be exempt from the duty and the privilege of praise. Oh, he's worthy of all the praise we could ever lift up to him. And much, much more. And much, much more. And so, you know, people in the Bible times got their answers by praising God. They got through difficult situations, impossible situations, by praising God. Abraham, you know, the Bible says in Romans 4:20, it says this, that he gave glory to God. Well, when you're giving glory to God, what are you doing? You're lifting him up. You're praising him. You're exalting him. You're giving adoration to him. You know what I'm saying? Listen to me. Listen to me. But you know what? There was no way in the natural for him to have a son, but he had one anyway. Isn't that right? And so we know that. If you look over at the leper in Matthew chapter 8 verses 1 through 3, you can find the account of the leper that came to Jesus and worshiped him. Worshiped him. And said, if you will, you can heal me. Jesus said, I will be healed. And he was immediately cleansed from his leprosy. Listen to me, I maintain this, that praising and worshiping God can get you through some things that nothing else can. I would dare say that many in this place, if you've lived long and very long for God at all, that you have had situations where you rebuked all you could rebuke. You know what I'm saying? You resisted all you could resist. You've quoted scripture till you're blue in the face. You have exercised all the faith you have. And you have spoken to the mountain. And you've done everything that you know to do. You've had people pray for you. You've had this and you've had that. But I want to tell you something. There's something else that you can do that'll cause you to be tapped into the things, the power of God, the things of God, the flow in your life. And that is just keep worshiping God. Just keep praising God. Just keep worshiping God. You say, how long do I need to do that? Listen to me, until God moves in your life, and then you keep praising God because he's moved in your life. Listen to me, praise and worship ought to be a way of life for you. It doesn't mean you go down the highway with your eyes closed and your hands lifted up and let the car drive by itself. Not talking about that at all. I'm talking about having an attitude of praise and worship before God. I mean, you may be driving the car, but you may have a song coming up out of your heart. Listen to me. Got to learn to listen down here. I'm not a music person per se. I can drive from here to the East Coast and never turn the radio on because I'm comfortable with silence. Because I know that be still and know that I'm God. Because I know there is a place of silence and quietness that you can hear God's voice. So I'm not really that kind of person. But you know, there's times when I get into situations, and listen to me, and as I'm just before the Lord, you know, and I'm listen to me, as I'm sensitive here, a song comes up. I don't know the whole song, but there's some words come up, and I start singing those few words right there. And you know, sometimes more words come, sometimes that's all it is. But listen to me, it's allowing me to praise God. It's allowing me to worship God. God in the midst of whatever I'm going through. It doesn't look like I ought to praise Him. It doesn't look like God's doing anything. But listen to me. If I start praising God using those little words that came to me, listen to me, it gives God room to begin to perform what He said in His Word. Listen to me. You may not have the answers that you need. You may have questions about your future. You may have this question and that question, but I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Sometimes we're not ready for the future that we're thinking about. And so what happens is that God wants us to worship Him and God wants us to praise Him, because in the middle of that, He starts working on us. He changes us. We think we want this and God said this, and that's good, that's good, that's good. But you know, God is also working on us to get us to be the kind of person that can handle what it is that we ask of Him. Amen. And sometimes we do that willingly, and sometimes we're not so willing about it. But listen to me. Listen to me. Sometimes, listen to me. One of the best things you can do is just keep praising God, worshiping God. And in the middle of that, God is just, He just loves that. He comes in and He just begins to do something. He adjusts this. He adjusts that. And it's almost like in the middle of all of that, that God is working on our life. We don't even notice it because we're so focused on Him. And we come out of that a different person. How many times have we praised God before and we went in one way in praising God and we came out with a new attitude? We came out with a new perspective. We came out with a new determination. We came out with a new appreciation for God. And we were able to look at the situation differently than when we were before we started praising and worshiping God. You know, the leper was that way. The Syrophoenician woman. Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon. He went off, and it says that he went to a house and he did not want anybody to know where he was at. But this Syrophoenician woman heard that he was in the area. And you know, the truth is she didn't know if he'd ever be back in that area again. And she had a daughter that was grievously vexed and tormented by a demon. And she came and started asking Jesus to heal, to deliver her daughter, and he didn't answer a word. And finally, she kept on, and she kept on. The disciples finally came to Jesus, said, "We tried to run her off. She wouldn't leave. She just kept coming back. And so, would you tell her to leave?" And so he said, "I was not sent except to the lost, except to the house of Israel." And she heard that when he finally spoke. And he gave her a negative answer. He said, "I wasn't sent to you. I'm sent to the house of Israel." Here's what the Bible says. You can read it. Matthew chapter 15. He says it this way. He said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Verse 25, 15:25. "Then she came and worshiped him." You know, technically she wasn't entitled to it because she wasn't in covenant with God. She's not an Israelite. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He said, "I was sent to these people." And you know what she did? She worshiped him. Amen. She worshiped him. You know what this tells me? This tells me that you may not be qualified any other way to the things that you've been asking for. But I want to tell you something. If you become a worshiper of God, God can move you to the head of the line. God can open doors that no other way could be opened other than because of the praise that you give Him, and that you have shown Him your devotion to Him. And He says, "I can work with an individual like that. Listen to me, I got a place for you." And He opens the door. And you know, the rest of the story is Jesus looked at her and he said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And you know, some people look at that and say, "Well, he called her the dog." Well, actually the Greek says it this way. He was referring not to the dogs on the street, but the little pet lap dogs that are in the house that they like so well, that are around there. And so what they would do back in those days, they didn't didn't use forks and knives like we do. They would eat with their fingers, and then they'd use pieces of bread to wipe their hands, and they'd throw that bread on the floor. Kind of like these steak places, you know, where you eat the peanuts and you throw the hulls on the floor, you know, kind of thing. Well, anyway, maybe kind of like that. But anyway, but that's what they do. And the little dog, she said, yeah, but the little dogs eat the crumbs that are under the table. Even the dogs eat a little bit. They're not entitled to the food, but they eat a little bit. And she's saying, whatever you do would be enough. Whatever. And Jesus looked at her, answered her, and said, oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that hour. Listen to me. Worshiping God and praising God gets God's attention. And even though you might not be qualified in the natural for something, listen to me, God, listen to me, worshiping and praising God can qualify you supernaturally. I don't mean that you don't try to do everything you can in the natural. Doesn't mean you have a right to be irresponsible. You know what I'm saying? You know that. You know how not to be flaky with this, don't you? Amen? But listen to me. There's some times when we do everything we know to do. We reach an impasse. We get on a plateau. We come against a wall. Something doesn't change. And I'm going to tell you something. How you break that down, how you get past that, is just start worshiping God. Start worshiping God. Start worshiping God. Start worshiping God. Just keep worshiping God. Just keep worshiping Him. Just keep praising Him. Listen to me. Even when your mind says, you ought to shut up, it's not working. Listen to me. That's a great time to put it up in the next gear. Just keep worshiping God. You know what I'm saying? You know, David danced and praised and worshiped God, and his wife, what was it, Michelle? She ridiculed him. Listen to me. I look at Michelle as a type of the unrenewed mind that doesn't appreciate the things of God. And you know, your mind starts working. You look like a fool. You got both hands up. There's no gun around. Nobody around here with a gun, you know? You know, you lift your hands up. Uh-oh, your deodorant's not working. Everybody can see that. You know, kind of thing. You know, your mind will think thoughts. You know what I'm saying? I wonder how I look. You know, and sometimes when you wear, guys, when you wear a suit coat, you know, and you lift both hands up, you know, the collar comes up and it all bunches up right around your neck. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you look crazy looking. Look at that, you know. Your mind does things. It really doesn't matter because you're worshiping God. Listen to me. You're after something that the other people don't know. They don't know. I was a young Christian. I had dated a girl, Christian girl. She had given me, my birthday came around and she had given me She gave me a present. I'd never had a present from a girl. I'm excited. I open it up. It's Billy Graham's book on angels. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this? Because I'm just not into it, you know, at that point. I'm still, I'm dating a Christian girl, but I'm also out in the bars and the pool halls. And so one day, this Christian girl told me, she said, don't you come back. You need to leave. Don't you come back until you start living for God. And I thought I knew what that meant. All I had to base that on was the church people that I grew up with. I thought, I don't need that. I don't want that. So I left. Broke up, you know, and we weren't really friends. You know, we kind of look at each other, you know, sometimes on our paths that cross, you know, and that kind of thing. And Eventually, I came to the Lord. And I found a group of spirit-filled people like you all that I started hanging around with. Now listen to me. When I came to the Lord, you really couldn't tell it too much on the outside yet. I mean, you had to take me by faith if I told you I was a Christian.
I mean, I had long hair. I had a swoop. Can you believe that? Man, down here, hair came down to the eyebrows. You know what I'm saying? And hair down to here. And I had wore silk shirts and bell-bottom jeans and, you know, and boots, you know, and drove a Firebird, 70 Firebird, you know, and thought I was cool, you know. I was cool. Maybe I was cool, but I was lost. But I came to the Lord. And so one of the things that happened was I started remembering soon after that, started going around and going to meeting after meeting. And after every meeting, we didn't have churches like this back then. There weren't churches at all, hardly any place. So we'd go to meetings, you know, different meetings. And I'd start going to these meetings. Every meeting changed me a little bit. And every day I'd start reading my Bible a little bit. And you know, and so, you know, you couldn't really tell the change from day to day, but you know, I'm changing on the inside and some things. And so one thing I learned was to pray about things. And so here's the thing. I remembered that girl that told me, don't come back till you start living for God. I thought, you know, every time we see each other, you know, we act like we don't like each other. And so I thought, that ain't right. She's a Christian, and I'm a Christian now. We ought to at least have, you know, at least be friends, you know. And so I asked the Lord to restore the relationship. I don't know what that meant, you know, whatever. And so I prayed that. And then I started thanking God, because I'd learned that when you ask God for something, you start thanking God for it after you ask him for it. And then here's what the Lord led me to do. Nobody told me to do this, but every night when I went to bed, I would just lay there with my hands up in the air, and I'd worship and praise God for the relationship to be restored until I went to sleep. I did that for 9 months. And one day as I was doing that about 10 o'clock at night, the Lord spoke to me. He said, call her up tomorrow night and she'll go out with you. I thought, wow. And I stayed up till 2 o'clock contemplating the possibilities of that. So tomorrow night I called her and she went out with me. Today she's my wife. 40 years this year, 40 years. This year that we've been married. You know what I'm saying? But I got past a difficult situation by praising and worshiping God. Didn't have any other answers. Didn't know what to do. Sometimes, folks, when you don't have any answers, worship and praise the one who does. He'll move in your life. Stand with me, please. I hope I shared something with you tonight that helped you, that encourages you. Move on past where you're at. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Moving in a new level. Increase. Health. Freedom. I don't know what you need tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. If you make a commitment to worship God, one of the secrets of Abraham, if you follow his journey through into Genesis, listen to me, is that he'd make an altar and he'd worship God wherever he went. He was a worshiper of God. And it helped his faith. If your faith seems weak, keep worshiping God and reading the word and praise God. Keep praising God. If you're feeling fear and if you're feeling worry, listen to me. Start worshiping and praising God. Listen to me. The scripture says, fear not. Just start praising God. That way your mind is off of the fears, that which you fear, and off of that which you're worried about, and it's upon the one who cares for you. And so let's just thank him right now. Just take a moment and thank him right now. We worship you. We thank you. We bless you. Oh, we magnify your name. When you magnify the Lord with praise and worship, listen to me, in your thoughts of God and what he can do in your life become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and more real and more real and more certain and more sure in your mind and in your heart. As you keep worshiping God, listen to me, God will help you in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Give you praise for it. Hallelujah. Amen. All over this room right now,
those of you that right now you're making a decision. I'm going to be a worshiper of God. I'm going to keep praising God. Lord, I make that commitment to worship you and to praise God. I want you to lift your hands if you're making that commitment to God right now. It doesn't matter what other people think. If you don't want to do that, doesn't matter what people think. You don't have to raise your hand. It's something that you decide that you're going to do. It's a commitment on your part to worship God and to praise God like never before. Even when you don't have answers, you're going to praise God instead of griping. Praise God instead of worrying. Praise God instead of talking about so-and-so. Praise God instead of thinking about the wrong that's been done to you. You're just going to praise God. Make that commitment right where you are. Father, I'm going to be a worshiper of you. I'm going to be a praiser and not a griper. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and honor. Amen. 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 Tonight, you can sit back down. Tonight, the prayer team will come here in a minute. Not right at the moment. Not right at the moment. We've got to receive a special offering for Mrs. Hagen. And that's an honor that we have tonight. And we thank God for her. Amen. And so we want to receive a special offering for her. And the Bible says to give double to those who work hard at teaching and preaching the Word of God. And so we know they're working hard at it this week. They're on a double crusade, not just a crusade, double crusade. They're going two this week. So we know they're working hard for that, in doing that. So let's get our offering ready. Show our appreciation to Mrs. Hagen as we give tonight. Just even if you have a quarter, do something. Do something. No gift is too small. No gift is too large. Amen. So let's just believe God together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. Bless these people as they give tonight. Move mightily in their life in the mighty name of Jesus. Help them in a mighty way. You've given them seed to sow. You've given them food for their table. Taking care of them up to this point. Thank you now for your great and precious promises, how that you bring in a mighty harvest and as a result of them sowing seed. Now, Father, we thank you that every need of Mrs. Hagen be met. In the name of Jesus, we thank you now for it and give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Ushers, if you'd serve the people, hallelujah. And just go ahead and do that. And also, if we can have the prayer team come forward at this time, if they can kind of slip past the ushers as they come. They'll line up while we're receiving the offering. And these people will be praying, be available to pray with you and to help you in every way. As much what you need, they'll direct you to the Word of God. They'll help pray the prayer of faith. They'll pray the prayer of agreement with you, and they'll help you all they can. And so that's what they're here for. If you're a lady, then come over here to the ladies, and one of these ladies will agree with you. If you're a guy, come over to these guys. These guys will agree with you. Grab your hand and believe God with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. First time guest. Did we have first-time guests? Didn't have any. We're all family. Isn't that right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just stay seated for a moment while they're receiving that offering. Let the ushers do their work. Isn't the ushers doing a great job? Give them a big hand while you can. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is a good God. Amen. I want to encourage you, don't forget to show your appreciation to the traffic team people out there. When you drive by them, wave at them, thank them. Don't try to run them over, you know. Don't see how close you can get with them. Don't try to scare them, okay? Just show your appreciation. Tell them thank you and appreciate them, okay? Because sometimes people do their job and don't hardly get noticed. Amen? Amen? All right. Well, we all clear on everything. Praise God. All right, we're good. All right, let's stand up and let's thank God one more time.
before we go. Father, we do thank you. Bless these people now. Guide and direct their path. Thank you now, Father God, as they go forth this week. May your prosperity be rich upon them, and may your health be abundant upon them in the name of Jesus. Open doors for them that no man can shut. And Father, we thank you that you make a way where there is no way, and that you are able to work supernaturally in their behalf. We give you praise for it ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.